Amen. All right. Thank you. What a blessing to be here this morning. I'm going to ask you to take your Bible and turn to Titus chapter 3. I will say this. I wish you'd pray for my little church back in Oklahoma, Gospel Light Baptist Church. Lord, just be with them this morning. Here we are in Delaware, and I knew Brother Ryman, like you said, when I was about, probably 7, 8 years old. And got out to West Virginia after graduating from Bible school. And I think we went to a youth rally somewhere and got kind of reconnected with him and started coming out here for Thanksgiving and just for the August meeting you guys had. And I see a lot of new faces. I'm very thankful to see that, see a few old faces. And I only say that to tell you, it is such a blessing to come and hear you guys sing, not just the choir, not just the Rachel and Becky and all them, but also just to hear your church sing. Amen. And that youth choir back 15 years ago is now sitting out in the congregation, and I can tell it. And that's a blessing. It is a blessing to hear. And you hear it sing that song, Jesus, Lover of My Soul. And I know this, boy, he means more every day. Amen. And I want to just preach to you this morning. I do want to help you. I do want to be a blessing to you. It is the Time Jane Sunday, and if you guys are down with as many folks as you have here, we have about 80, so we probably got 3 in church this morning. But anyway, y'all pray for them out there, if you would, all right? Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll read our text here, Titus chapter 3. Father, I thank you, Lord, again, for your many blessings. I'm overwhelmed, Lord, with your grace this morning, and thank you, Lord, for the cup running over, the joy of being around friends and this church here, Lord. But, Lord, it ain't about us this morning. It's about you, and it's about, Lord, your work being done. And, Lord, the truth is I'm nothing without you. I pray, God, that you'd please help these people this morning through me. Yes. An awesome responsibility. Lord, precious, precious church here, Lord. Lord, I pray you'd do something, Lord, this morning without me. And, Lord, just hide me behind the cross and just work on the hearts here this morning as you see fit. Help me to say the things you want me to say. And be a blessing to them this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Titus chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Now, you know, if you go back over to the Old Testament and over Deuteronomy chapter 5, and you don't have to turn over there, but I'm going to read a passage of Scripture out of there to you. Because in Deuteronomy chapter 5, what you're reading about, I was reading this morning, Moses is giving an account of what had happened over in the book of Exodus, and where the Lord had come down from heaven to give the Ten Commandments and the law to Moses. And when all that started, everybody was around the mountain. And when the Lord came down, it scared them so bad, they said, listen, Moses, you be the one to tell us what the Lord says, because if you don't, it's going to scare us to death. In Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 22, the Bible says there, he says, these words the Lord spake unto all our assembly in the mount out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and of the thick darkness, with a great voice, and he added no more, and he wrote them in two tables of stone and delivered them unto me. And it came to pass, when ye heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that ye came near unto me even all the heads of your tribes and your elders, and ye said, behold, the Lord our God hath showed us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and he liveth. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us if we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, that we shall die. They are scared to death. They're scared to death to talk with the Lord. And over in Psalms chapter 24, David says in verse 3, he said, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. You know, we're Americans. We've been taught that if there's anything we want to do, if we just put our mind to it, we can do it. I'm going to tell you something. There's some things you cannot do.
Yes, sir.
And it may be that I'll just be honest with you. I don't care how much I made up my mind. I am not going to run a mile.
Amen.
Say, if you just lost a bunch of weight and you just did, well, maybe so. But I'll tell you something, folks. Today, if I made up my mind, I'm going to go run a mile. Guess what? I'd die before I got to the end of the driveway. But there may be some things. There's some of you, and you know what I'm talking about. That no matter how much you wanted to be a doctor, you couldn't do it because you ain't smart enough.
Yeah, come on.
I'm just saying that, be honest, okay? And some of us have got to be trash men, amen?
Yeah. Amen.
That's all there is to it. Some of us got to be trash men. No matter how smart we think we are, amen? But I'll tell you this, no matter how smart you are, you got the highest IQ in the world and all the money in the world, you say, well, I want to be president like Donald Trump. I'll tell you, you might live the American dream, but there's one thing that you are not going to do, and that is you are not going to ascend up to God by your goodness and your good works. Listen, as an American, if you were to go to God and say, God, I'm coming. They tried that in Genesis. They said, we're going to build a tower up to heaven. And the Lord said, oh, no, you ain't. And the reason why is because God is holy, his voice is holy, and we've lived in a country where we've said no fear, but I'll tell you, if you'd have been around that mountain that day, you'd have been just like everybody else, and you'd have said, Moses, we can't stand the sight of God, where he scares us to death. We're just going to speak through Moses to us. You know, we're a busy people today. I'm speaking as a generalization, but most people, they're getting up in the mornings, getting out of bed early, 3:30, 4:30, some people going to work, schedule up 6:30, shower, news, breakfast, off to work. After that, you take the kids to school or maybe not to count the traffic. I tell you, you folks out here, I feel sorry for you. Out where I'm from, I can see 50 miles in one every direction. I get out this way and the beltway scares me to death. I mean, not only can I not see very far, there's trees. I'm claustrophobic. And then I get up on top of that bridge coming across here, and I'm a panic attack, man. It's crazy. The traffic everywhere.
Yeah.
I can't imagine working on that and trying to get somewhere on time. You had to leave 5 days early. You get to work and you got all these deadlines all day, and lunch is a deadline, and then there's all the stresses of the job and the family and the car's not working right and the computer's slow, and you get off at 5 and you run to the store and you throw something together for supper. You check your Facebook and your Twitter and your Pinterest and your Instagram and your Face Farm Ranch to virtually feed all your cows and rhinoceroses, and slide in home and make supper and help with homework and go do the laundry and find out the washer doesn't work, and then the dog got to get to the vet appointment in the morning, your cell phone battery dies, and you try to look things up on the computer and the iPad and the Kindle or whatever, and it won't work because the Wi-Fi is down at 11 p.m. You're starting to go to bed, and one of the kids comes into your bedroom and pukes. Sound familiar? And then Sunday rolls around, and it's, oh, I got to set my clocks forward. And people make themselves go to church because they always have, and because such love, such wondrous love, such love, such wondrous love, that God would love a sinner such as I. How wonderful is love like this. That's why.
Yeah. Amen.
Take your Bible and turn over to Titus chapter 3. If you've already left there, go back to Titus chapter 3. I just want you to see a couple of things this morning about the kindness of God. Here's God up in heaven, and he's so powerful and so majestic and so full of his holiness. If he came down to us and we saw that consuming fire that they saw in the book of Exodus, we'd run away and say, oh God, we can't stand to be around you. And the Lord says, but I want to be with you. In Titus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, he says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. You know, I think Christians ought to live like Christians. I've been pastoring, like Brother Allen said, 11 years now, and I know this in all my life, and in 11 years as a pastor, one of the hardest things to get people to do in Oklahoma, it's probably not that way in Delaware, but when people get saved in Oklahoma, it's hard to get them to live and be a Christian. I mean, it says here to respect the law, and you know, and I mean, we got a recent events in our country with all the things related to Ferguson, Missouri, and the riots since the election and all. Listen, the reason there's a reason for the police, amen? I know that there's some out there that may be swayed or whatever, but you read Romans chapter 13, and it says they're there for the Lord put them in that place. And, you know, some, I know there's some of them that can be swayed to being, you know, crooked or whatever, but most of them aren't. Most of them are out there doing a job, trying to take care of things the right way, and most of them want to go home in the evening to their family.
Amen. Yeah.
And if you ain't done anything wrong, you ain't got nothing to worry about.
Amen.
Now, I know this is a sensitive area, but look, if you don't have a bag of weed and two bags of crack in your pocket and a 45, most of the time you're not going to get shot. If you keep your hand off the gun. Listen, I'm from Oklahoma, man. Almost every other person's got a concealed carry license out there. I think I'm for it. I'm for having guns. Oh, you bet your boots. But don't reach for it when the police officer walks up.
Sure.
Stupid, or you get shot.
Yeah.
I know I'm around friends here. I believe that. But God, listen, all these issues would be avoided if someone would have done verses 1 and 2, and they just would have done what the policeman said. They didn't tell these people anything humiliating to do that anybody knows of. They just said, stop. But Americans don't want to do what they're told to do. You don't want unrest, don't break the law.
Amen.
The Bible says we're supposed to do good. We're to do right, to do good. Listen, that's what Jesus did. The Bible said he went about doing good. Old Bob Jones Sr. used to say, it's a sin to do less than your best. Yep. That verse there says, watch how you talk. You ought to watch your mouth. Speak evil of no man. He didn't say not bad of no man. It said evil of no man. Don't lie about people. Don't gossip about people. Amen. He said, don't be a brawler. That's being a quarreler, somebody fighting all the time and yelling at someone angrily all the time. He said, be gentle, easygoing, and move slowly with people, having some patience and careful not to hurt somebody. Amen? And listen, that ain't the way we normally are. Something comes in my mind and out my mouth before I even realize what happened.
Yeah, amen.
I think Brother Glenn Stocker used to say they have an alligator mouth and a hummingbird brain. Amen. Bible said to show meekness unto all men. Being meek means to go out in a hailstorm with of trouble with a helmet on to do the work you got to do. That's what meekness is. It's being under control, under the duress you're under, and doing what's right, even though for the time it may not be popular or whatever, what everybody else is doing. I mean, when somebody else is brawling with you, you don't have to get back at them. Amen? Do right. Verse 3 says, he says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. You know what he's talking about there? He's talking about where we used to be.
Amen.
I mean, listen, when you come up to that mountain and there's the holiness of God and the consuming fire of God, and he says, thou shalt not, and you just did, there's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
I may not be what I ought to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. I was raised in a Christian home, I understand, but I'm going to tell you the reason I got saved at 5 years old is because the Lord convicted me at 5 years old of lying to somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
I walked in up the steps at church one day in the junior church area, a Sunday school area, and there was a lady that used to babysit me at 5 years old, and she looked at me, and I said to her, "Hey, I just got saved." And I was lying through my teeth. And the Holy Spirit said, "You did not." Now, listen, I believe kids can understand the gospel. I think they need to understand what sin is before they get pushed into getting saved. But that next week we went home, we were out street preaching. My dad had me on his lap, and I sat on his lap after we came back from street preaching, and I knew I was a sinner. The Holy Spirit had said, "You lied to that lady." And I know the Lord, I thank God for him saving me at a young age, but I think about this, how much the Lord had to save me from. Amen. Some of y'all got saved at later in life, and I understand that, but thank God I got saved from all the terrible things. You kids that are in here, I know it's hard sometimes. I know you look around, and we don't get to do everything else, and Brother Ryan preached on going to the movies. My goodness, we've come so far.
Yeah.
We've come so far. I think we ought to just go back to preaching on everything that used to be, just so that people realize what sin is anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
I may not be what I ought to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be or what I could be. And sometimes we forget how really good we have it.
Yeah.
We start looking down our noses. We forget after we got saved how long it took for God to deal with us to get us to where we were, ready to get saved. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 40, "He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay." In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, these people won't inherit the kingdom of God. And he says, "And such were some of you," talking about fornicators and adulterers and all these things that are in Titus chapter 3. He said, "You were that, but now you're washed. Now you're clean. That's what you used to be." Listen, can you imagine still being there?
Yeah.
Can you imagine verse 3? Can you imagine what you used to be? You used to be in that lying and that cheating. I'm not comfortable around that at all, because I got saved and raised in a Christian home, but I'm not comfortable around alcohol or drugs or that atmosphere, the country. I mean, we go street preaching those bars and they're booming their music. It's not because I'm better than them. It's just it makes my skin crawl. Last night I got a phone call. It was a real blessing. We had a guy in our church. He went out every year for almost all his life on a camping trip during spring break or so. Last night he called me. Was with the pastor. He called me. He says, "I'm mad." He says, "I'm with my family, and we've been all these years been drinking. They've been pushing me to drink, and I don't want that life no more." I said,
"Amen.
Lord
Amen.
God, man, something's happening." He said, "I tried to tell them about God and Jesus. They got mad at me. I just went out of here, man." And he's asking me to come get him. I was a little, I'm a little far away here, but can you imagine still being in that life? I mean, the Bible says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You know what the hardest thing is today about getting people saved? At least it is in Oklahoma. It's to convince them that they're lost.
Yeah.
Oklahomans have this thing called the Oklahoma pride. It's the Oklahoma spirit. You know, we just had these big, huge fires out there. I mean, they're huge. They said they're as big as Rhode Island and New York City combined. That's how big that fire was. One of the biggest ones on record. And people are lining up to bring all this stuff and do all these things, and they got this attitude of pride about them. That I'd give you the shirt off my back, and it's really hard and difficult to convince them, hey, you're a sinner. And if you stand before God, you ain't going to work yourself up that mountain without clean hands and a pure heart, and you ain't got either one. The Bible says, "There's none that doeth good, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." I know people are religious. They're good to other people. They put money in when somebody's got cancer. They think of themselves as trying to help other people. Their self-righteousness and their pride combined forge a chain that is not easily broken. The Bible says, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Coming to a place where they come to the mountain of God, where the holiness of God is, and looking at that holy God and saying to him, "I'm pretty good." And that holy God reaches down out of heaven and says, "There is none that doeth good, no, not one." And you know what you have to do to get saved? You have to come to a place where you're scared to death. You say, "I am on my way to a devil's hell. And the best I can do will not excuse me in front of a holy God.
Right.
How many of you remember coming to a place where you were scared to death?
Amen.
And said, I'm going to go to hell.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go. How many of you can say that today?
Amen. Yeah.
And then a light appeared.
Yeah.
Remember when he reached down his hand?
Hey.
Look there in Titus chapter 3. He says, verse 3, he says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. You know, we got a bunch of stuff to talk about today about hate speech and don't be a hater. Amen. Y'all heard that? Don't be a hater.
Yeah.
And people are hateful. My mama used to say, quit being so hateful.
Yeah.
It wasn't like it is today. People are fierce.
Yeah.
And that's the world some people live in. They live in a world where everybody hates one another. They hate them because of their color. They hate them because of their status. They hate them because they're part of the certain part of the country, or because they're a politician, or because they're not a politician, or because of whatever. Listen, I want you to understand, that's of the devil, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
God so loved the world, he don't see your skin. He don't see your economic status. He sees your soul.
Yeah, yeah.
And verse 4 says, but after the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared. I kind of read that with a dot, dot, dot for just a minute to think about that. You remember when the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward you appeared? You're going along, you're forged that chain of self-righteousness, and somebody came and broke it down, or you were going through something and you finally realized, I'm a sinner, I deserve to go to hell, and it scared you to death that one of these days I could burn forever, I'd be guilty in front of God. But one day a light came on. The Bible says, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. You remember the kindness and the loving kindness of our and the love of God? Listen, if there was any hope going to be given, it was going to have to come from the one who had been that cloud on the mountain. If there was going to be any hope for our to redeem us and relieve us from condemnation, it was going to have to come from the one who had the power to condemn us for our sins. You know the story in the Bible. After 400 years of silence, there was a day when a woman was sitting there, maybe doing her laundry, doing the wash, sweeping the floor, and an angel showed up and said, fear not, Mary. He said, I'm coming to you. You're the one who's going to have a Savior. Unto you is going to be born. You're going to be the mother of the Savior of the world. On that day, whenever she had that baby, some angels came to some shepherds and said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And there's all these people that were on this earth, and they here comes Jesus Christ, and he lived a perfect life, and he went about healing and helping and saving and accomplishing the task. He was the lost man's substitute.
Amen.
He took the blame
for
the crimes of other people.
Yeah.
He took the blame for you.
Yep. Yes, sir.
I know who I'm talking to. We're talking to people this morning who got up, set your clocks early last night so you could be here in church this morning. And I want you to remember something. While he was on that cross, when you lied, and when you trusted Christ as your Savior, God said, I'm going to blame my son for your sin. You say, I don't like to think like that. But he did.
Yeah.
God the Father put the punishment on his son that you and I would have to deal with. If you're saved here this morning, Jesus got the blame for your sin.
Yeah.
He took the blame. He took the accusation. And he took the condemnation for the crimes that we've committed against God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sin. We'd forget just how good God is. How good it was to find hope one day. Walking in darkness, fulfilling our lusts, condemned in our sin to suffer in hell. One day some guilt came across your soul. One day a soul winner passed out a gospel tract. One day some street preacher stood on a corner and said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And the Holy Spirit says, that's you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one day, light shined in a dark world. The Bible says the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. It was hope. You may attribute God's grace to a person who told you about Jesus, a person that helped you, but you got to realize it was the Lord that did it. He looked down from heaven, and knowing the sun and the moon and the stars, and knowing how every ant would go about his day, and he looked down and saw you. He said, I'm going to make sure some light gets shined today in their heart, that they might come to know the kindness and love of our Savior toward man. You may attribute God's goodness and his kindness that was presented to you to somebody that came and showed you, but it was God that came that grace might abound in your life, that you might gain the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, do you remember whenever that light shined in your heart? Do you remember the Bible says how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things? Somebody came to you. Somebody said, hey, Jesus loved you and he died for you. Somebody came to you and said, hey, you're a sinner and you're on your way to hell, but there's hope for you if you just trust Christ. If you don't trust Christ, you'll die and go to hell. But there's a Savior who loved you and died for you. And if you trust him, he'll take your sins away.
Amen.
Someone down in a deep dark hole somewhere. I remember reading the stories about a mine called the Cherry Mine. And it was a group of miners that were underground 500 feet. Y'all probably know about that. Some of y'all have dealt with some of that stuff. And they had built a wall of mud and rocks and timbers because of a fire that had broken out. And there was a cave-in, and there was poisonous gases everywhere. And they were in the total darkness with just a pool of water leaking from a coal seam to drink out of. Down there for 8 days. They thought, well, we can't bear it any longer. And so they began to figure out a way to get out, and they tore down the barricade that they had made and began crawling through the tunnels. And finally, somebody said, I hear somebody. Shh. I hear somebody. And finally after 8 days, 21 men out of all those men down there, out of 259 miners, were rescued from a disaster. I read the story about a Russian sub that had gone down. It had failed and was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. And there was a terrifying race to rescue these 7 men that were trapped in the bottom of the sea. They only had a few hours of oxygen left. The time ticked away, and there was a team of men that got this new type of vehicle and was able to go down there to the bottom. And they got down there, and the machine they were on broke down. They had to go back up to the top, and they finally got it fixed. And 67 hours after the disaster, the trapped submariners were aroused in an oxygen-deprived stupor by the sound of what was called the Scorpio, the machine, the mechanical claw on that hub, on that sub in the hole. The trapped men tapped back on the hole when all of the oxygen was almost gone and all of the men's best efforts had been made. 7 men finally floated to the surface and came out. You think about that, being in the bottom of the ocean for 67 hours and your oxygen is running out. Who knows you're there? And after 67 hours and nobody hardly able to breathe, you hear, boy, you talk about suddenly a hope rising up inside of you.
Amen.
One day, you are walking down the road of life, sunk to the bottom of the barrel, You may have looked like you were doing okay. You may have been trying to put on a good face, but you knew in your heart you were just a mess. You were without hope and without God, and one day, and the Lord said, I want to rescue you. Somebody headed, I've heard the stories about people going to be executed, and right at the last minute a pardon came through. Somebody else took your blame and your shame because of Jesus. Nobody is ever going to know what Jesus knows about you. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. By the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You need to realize what you got in on. Somebody took your blame. Somebody took the shame. Listen, this morning, if we were to have you stand up and accuse you and play a movie of all the horrible sin you've done, listen, Jesus took that shame. Jesus took that blame. The kindness of God and love of our God one day appeared so that you wouldn't have to deal with that. You got in on salvation because of Jesus Christ. You got in on being justified by the grace of God. You got in on an inheritance as a child of God. You got in on eternal life. You were rescued from the flames of a burning fire forever. And the Bible says in Romans 8, 38 and 39 that nothing can separate us from the love of God. All because one day somebody came and told you about a man named Jesus. Somebody came in and said, I got a light. Is there anybody out there who's lost? Remember when that happened to you? You know, in Titus chapter 3, verse 8, look what it says. It says, this is a faithful saying, and these things will I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto all men. He said, because you're saved, because the light shined upon you and you trusted Christ as your Savior, he said, you owe him. You owe him. You can't repay him, but you can love him and serve him. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Wouldn't it be nice if you got to heaven and the Lord said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. How is it possible that he could love me, come and save me, an unworthy, rotten sinner, before I was even alive, and provide a way to escape hell and have mercy on me and send somebody to tell me and save my mama and save my daddy and save me and put me in a place where they'd tell me about him and put my sins on Jesus? When I was 5 years old, he knew what I was gonna do. When I was 25 years old, and he still saved me. How is it possible that he would be my substitute and bleed and die for me and then give me all the benefits of a child of God on this side of heaven and eternity and then say, if you'll work for me, I'll give you a reward? I'll tell you why. It's because of the kindness and love of God. Several months ago, a year or two ago, I was watching a documentary on a prison. It was a women's prison. And there was a group of women that were on a burial detail. They were talking about this group of women who would bury lifers that had died there. And they would be about seven or eight ladies there, and they'd all dig the grave under the supervision of this man that was the guard, and they would lower that body in there and cover the body up, and most of the time nobody would show up for the funeral. They were allotted a certain amount of time for each body. And usually they get done before that time was up, and so they'd have a small service there. No family there, nobody else. And these these poor ladies, they didn't know nothing. But they knew there was one song that fit every time. It was Amazing Grace. And they would sing Amazing Grace, but they didn't know all the words. That's what the lady said. She said, we sing, but we don't know all the words. Now, I've been around some prisons. I've been around some folks that have been in trouble with the law in different places and different situations. And the con artists are different people. And I'll just tell you, sometimes the world's mindset is I want to be your friend so long as I watch out for you trying to get something back out of me. I want to get everything I can out of you, but I don't want you to get nothing out of me, and I'll be your friend as long as that happens. Here's these ladies standing there, and one lady stated, she said, there's a lady downstairs in our pod, and she sings Amazing Grace every night. And they closed the program. They closed that documentary. Here's this little, looked like a Mexican lady standing there at a bar. Beautiful voice. Singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. And that little pod would just echo. Here they were in a place where the justice of man was being served on them. And she said, we don't know all the words to Amazing Grace, but boy, she knew what it was. She knew that was something good. If someone would have been able to go in there and just have told them about God's amazing grace and why it's so great. Amen. How that sets sinners free. Right there in that pod. Every one of those women could have known some freedom that the world doesn't know anything about. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. If they could just see themselves, not only in the bars made by man, but in the bars made by sin, what a difference that would have been made to hear that there was grace for them. I was sitting there looking at that, just tears running down my face, thinking to myself, they can sing that song, Amazing Grace, at a graveside, and they can hear that little Mexican lady singing Amazing Grace to those bars, and they don't even know what the light is that they're seeing. I just wanted to go there. I wanted to be able to stand in the middle of that pod and tell them about Jesus. Tell them how he loved them and how he died for them and how he'd rescue them. That no matter what they'd done, he paid the price. He could save you, and his kindness to them would be to wash their sins away. That man couldn't wash away. That man demanded they pay for. God would say, I'm going to let you free because my son would have already paid the price for you. What would it be if they had were brought in one by one and had been told of a provision that had been made to let them out? If they would just plead guilty because someone else had agreed to take their place. Some of them would have said, well, that's too simple. They might have thought, well, that's just a joke. Some might have been too proud to let somebody else take their place and, no, I can't do that. I did it. I'll do the time. Some might have been looking for some freedom so they could take revenge on somebody and take that pardon maliciously. But let me tell you something today. If you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you'll come to him and realize that you're a sinner, it's no joke. That's right. It's not too simple. You don't need to think, well, I'll take my licks. I did the crime. I'll do the time. You can't do the time. This holy God will scare you to death. Yeah. If you'll just realize he loved you. And the kindness and love of our God has appeared. And there's light shining to you today. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. John Newton, he's the one who wrote that song. He was a slave to a slave after he had lost everything in the slave trade. And you know what he realized? I need nobody but God. And you know what he rejoiced to say? I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. I'd like for you to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a minute. I know there's some of you in here, you may not have any use for what I'm saying to you this morning, but can I just tell you, there's today, right now, light shining to you. You young men in here, you keep going on the track you're going, you're probably going to end up in jail or hell if you're not saved. There's a God in heaven who loved you and he died for you. If you'll trust him as your Savior, he'll wash everything you've ever done since you were a little bitty boy or girl. Totally away. Since you've been born, he'll wash it away and he'll take you to heaven and he knows what you're going to do and he still will save you if you just come to him today. We're going to have an invitation in a moment. You're welcome to come and take Jesus Christ as your Savior. But I'd like for you to remember this if you're here today and you're saved. Do you remember the day the light dawned upon you and the God's word shined in your heart and you saw yourself as a sinner? You remember when you were locked in the prison of sin and you heard that someone else was willing to take your place and take your blame and give you their perfectness and their forgiveness? At first, it's humiliating. It's humbling. And then you realize, I don't deserve it, but at least I'm free. I don't have to worry about going to hell. And I'll say this to you. If you're saved here today, you're obligated by decency to respect the wishes of the one who set you free, to honor his request. And he said this, you're saved, so act like it. You're saved unto good works. You're free. You're free because of the love and kindness of a God, our Savior, toward you appeared. You're saved here today as a Christian. And you say, preacher, I kind of forgotten about that day when he saved me, and I ain't been living like a Christian should live. Can I ask you to come to this altar this morning and just tell him, thank you for saving me. Thank you for the day I was in darkness. Thank you for sending somebody to tell me about Jesus. Father, I pray you please bless this message. Anybody here today that's lost, I pray that the light would come on, Lord. They'd see it, Lord. I just want to be what you want this morning. I pray, God, the Holy Spirit would work through the Word of God. May the Spirit of God work amongst these that are here today. For Jesus' sake, amen. Preacher.